Well, as I said, our text this evening is Proverbs 14 and verse 30, and a warning against envy. We're going to be looking at a number of the Proverbs that come to this theme and speak to it. But really the main focus of our time together in God's Word is this, that saving faith, faith in the Lord Jesus, saves us from the destruction that envy and jealousy can bring to our lives, both now and forever. Envy has the power to hurt and destroy. And in our own lives, our envy and jealousy of others can have major impacts upon the way that we are. It can lead to very low self-esteem, it can lead to anger, it can lead to bitterness and melancholy and all manner of issues. And the Bible warns us against envy. And that is what we find in our text in Proverbs in a very clear way. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Solomon warns us here against this very real danger to us, envy and jealousy. And the feelings of jealousy and envy, they will never help us. You know, even if we entertain them, they will always damage us, always hurt us. And the likelihood is that they will damage others too. You know, and so look at the text, see what it says. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Literally has deep effects. It's like a disease. And it affects us not only emotionally and spiritually, but it can also impact us physically. It spreads, it ruins. It is a deadly thing to entertain. And so really, the wise, those who know Jesus Christ and those who follow him, the wise avoid envy and jealousy. I can remember when I was involved in fencing and sport, and one year I was due to qualify for the World Championships at the end of the season. And I got injured for the last couple of European qualifiers, and I just missed out on selection by a number of points and going to Venezuela for the championships. And I was really envious of the three that were selected ahead of me to go. And I thought at that stage that coming back the next season and giving my best and, you know, seeking to right what I felt was a wrong, that I would prove that it was the wrong choice to overlook me and to leave me out. But, you know, for all of the success that followed that season, Solomon was right. It didn't make missing out that time any less painful. And it didn't change the fact that I'd not been selected when I felt I should have been. And it really affected me. Had a deep impact and something that really I needed to repent of before the Lord. I was envious and I wanted something that somebody else was given, somebody else had. And it was destructive, can be destructive in our lives. And many of us are tempted to want things that other people have. It may be material things, it may be their clothes or their car or their house, even their bank account. It might be their popularity, might be their status. We might envy people's relationships, maybe their family lives, maybe their image. Whatever it is, harboring that attitude can be destructive to us. And the reverse can be just as destructive. Jealousy can sometimes show itself in the desire to keep what is ours and in no way let anybody else have it. One commentator explains envy and jealousy and makes the following distinction. Jealousy is the angry desire to keep what we possess and are afraid somebody else wants. Envy is the angry desire for what someone else possesses. And you know, really, none of us want to own up to harboring those types of feelings because it gives people more hold over us. But I would suggest to you that most, if not all of us, have felt jealousy and envy at some point in our lives. Maybe we felt spite or resentment when friends or colleagues have succeeded over us. Maybe we've been jealous when others do things that we want to do and seem to do it better. Do you know, even pastors have to deal with it. See, other churches growing and yours fluctuates between no growth and just minimal growth. And the danger is there. Jealousy can strike for all manner of reasons. Uncertainty at work, the fear of being replaced by someone. Or maybe a new person comes into your friendship group and we worry that they're going to take our place and push us out. And Or maybe someone that you spent a lot of time with moves on and gets married and doesn't have as much time as they used to for you anymore. We just find these things hard to deal with. And jealousy can creep into all manner of situations in our lives. It's something that's common in relationships. You know, maybe you've developed a liking for someone only to find out that they like someone else, and so you make your dislike for that other person clear. It can show itself in the workplace. You're passed over for promotion for one of your colleagues, and when they succeed, it really churns you up. And when they fail, you actually get a little bit of pleasure. Shows itself in churches. When some get opportunities that you wanted, or when one person's contribution seems to be appreciated more than yours. Jealousy can stir up when it comes to image and looks, and you look at yourself and you wish you had a body like such and such, or that you were as pretty and handsome like that person, and you find yourself doing them down in your conversations to compensate for the jealousy inside. There are times when we wish we were like such a one who might be smart or popular or successful or wealthy or competent or whatever it may be. And I would suggest to you that one of the features of life in our day that has added to this significantly is social media. And across the various platforms, the posting of people about their lives, what they appear to be doing, can cause increased comparison and increased jealousy. And by the way, you know, don't believe everything that you see. The ability to take and edit photos, to give a certain image which may not reflect reality but gives a certain perception online, it can stoke up jealousy in others. You know, even likes on Facebook and all the rest can be a problem. Such a person gets a lot of likes but I don't get any, or this person always likes posts from all the other people in church but never likes my posts. And jealousy starts to spring up. Well, the Bible condemns that kind of jealousy. And there are some types of jealousy that the Bible says can be legitimate, but I would say to you, it is rare that we engage in those. Let me give you an example. You know, often, you know, righteous anger, we talk about that, and some jealousy may not always be bad. As one explains, jealousy is not wrong when it involves an exclusive relationship being threatened. For example, God is jealous for his people and their exclusive devotion to him. So Zechariah 8:2, the Lord is speaking, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. So he says, I am jealous for Zion with great fervor. I am jealous for her. God is also jealous for his glory. There can be a positive jealousy and passion for exclusive devotion to God. But it's unlikely that that is the type of jealousy that we have to contend with. Most of the time, we are facing envy and jealousy. It will be the sinful, destructive, deadly kind. And I would say to you that if you give rein to that unbelieving state of envy or jealousy, it could so take over your life as to cause you to make shipwreck. It's amazing how quickly these things can fester. And so a number of very simple things to say. Envy and jealousy is lethal because it damages you. Envy damages you emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. Proverbs 14:30 says, jealousy has these harmful consequences, whereas alternatively, being content in your heart will lead to well-being. How are you content in your heart? By being content in the Lord. And this verse doesn't point to the covenant, it does point to the covenant curse of physical decay for those who violate the law, including God's command that we be content with what we have. And so jealousy is a deadly disease that can eat away at us. And when a person is jealous, it can lead to irritability, it can lead to anger all of the time. If left to fester, it can also begin to have effects that break out physically. You know, some have been known to break out in hives, or there are disorders or uncontrolled rage or inability to think rationally. And when you try and live your life harboring jealousy and consequent anger, it will ruin you. You know, one significant issue, jealousy that finds its roots in checking out what others are doing, can not only discourage you, can also cause you not to be thankful for the life that God has given you. So envy, jealousy is lethal because it damages you. But envy and jealousy is lethal because it hurts the people around you. Listen to Proverbs 27, verses 3 to 4. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? So, that verse is saying this. There are certain types of behavior which are unbearable for the people around such a one who is displaying them. So in these verses, the writer is saying, well, violence is never good. Temper and bad temper, that's not a good thing. They're harmful to people. But jealousy has the potential to cause even greater damage. Because who can stand before jealousy? Who can endure it? You know, if you're a jealous person, people will start to distance themselves from the drama and destructive ways that you bring. As one says, it destroys friendship because fury that stems from jealousy is never open to reason or moderation. Envy and jealousy is lethal because it hurts the people around you. And envy and jealousy is lethal because it also leads to other sin. You know, perhaps the most well-known or one of the most well-known accounts of a person's life in the Bible is that of David. And one of the examples from the life of David of this in action is the way Saul feels about David. And such is the deeply entrenched jealousy that Saul has of David, that over time, as it churns him up and as it eats away at him, as our text describes, what does he do? He tries to murder David. Such is the strength of the grip of jealousy upon Saul's soul. And envy and jealousy, as they fester, they can quickly lead to other sins because at its root is a belief in the heart that what God has given to you is not enough. That God is withholding from you. That dissatisfaction, that feeling of inadequacy causes you to lash out in all kinds of ways. In extreme ways, it can be violence. In other ways, it can be gossip. It can be theft. It can be all manner of things. Another way that envy leads to other sins is when you begin to copy the behavior of the prosperous, of the wicked. The Bible says that envy of sinful people who seem to prosper leads to imitating their behavior, to live like them, to have the same attitudes as they do. Proverbs 24, verses 1 to 2. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. You know, jealousy of sinful people who are successful always brings with it the temptation to lead you to adopt their behavior and their approach to life to get what they have. And friends, the Bible says that instead you should see that their behavior is as it is and that is sinful before the Lord. Behavior that is not right before Him, and you shouldn't want to stoop down to that level. And seeing the nature of the sinful, angry, bad-mouthing, bitter attitudes should be a motivation to keep away from this. Keep away to avoid jealousy. It's lethal because it leads to other sins. But even more serious is this. Envy and jealousy is lethal because it will be judged by God. You know, there are a number of passages in the Word of God which make it clear that we must not envy sinners who prosper, because God will judge them. And though they may prosper for a time, judgment is coming. And wisdom warns not to join their ranks. Proverbs 3, verses 31 to 32. Do not envy the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The application is obvious. Don't envy and copy the practices of sinners. So tempting to be jealous of those who seem to succeed, even though they live in a way that tramples on Scripture, that rejects any thought of God. You know, if it wasn't tempting, it wouldn't be dangerous. There wouldn't be any appeal. But it is. And the difficulty for us can be when ungodly people seem to have it all. And life seems to be going so well. It seems as though they got everything that they want. And then the godly who are pursuing what is right before the Lord, seeking to honor the Lord and live in that manner, seem only to have hardship and suffering and very few benefits. And we're warned by the scriptures, don't fall into that trap. Don't entertain that line of thinking, because it is a very short-term view. Because the Lord has promised to condemn the wicked. And the day will come when all of that will turn around significantly, and the sinner who has seemed to prosper will lose everything, and the righteous in Christ will be rewarded. And the favor of God bestowed by sovereign grace rests on the believer, rests on those who are content in the Lord. And his approval is worth infinitely more than all those temporal riches that the sinner possesses. God tells you, trust me, trust my word, rather than your experience, because the prosperity of the ungodly is only apparent. It is short-lived. Proverbs 24, verses 19 to 20 adds the eternal perspective. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Do not be jealous of sinners, because judgment looms and all will be turned around. You know, that's the tragedy of the appeal of the world. It promises so much and it draws so many in. Come and enjoy. Come and fill yourself and come and have all of these things and you'll be happy and it'll all be there. It's a mirage. And eternity and judgment will reveal the reality. You know, the sinner's future is bleak outside of Christ. Only judgment, condemnation, and eternity of horror. And so it is foolish to adopt their ways for a period of pleasure and seeming prosperity in the light of eternity. You know, some have suggested that in Proverbs 24:20, where it speaks of the lamp of the wicked being put out, that actually there is a messianic reference there. That in fact it is pointing to the line of David, because the lamp is often connected to the Davidic dynasty, because David's life is referred to as the lamp of Israel. And so God is concerned that David always has a lamp in Israel, speaking of an heir. And so in Psalm 132, this lamp imagery is applying to the Messiah. And so even though the lamp of the wicked will go out, the lamp of Messiah, the reality of Messiah, will always endure, and he will ever reign. As one explains, the hope is to preserve the messianic line until Messiah comes by not envying the wicked. The promise of an eternal kingdom ultimately brings an overlap of posterity with eternal life. There either had to be an eternal succession of faithful posterity, or eventually an eternal son who lives forever. The resurrection of Jesus is where those two things meet. And we can enter this eternal kingdom if we trust in the King and turn away from jealousy and envying the wicked and turn towards him who is all in all. You know, when we're given to really believe the gospel, we are given eternal and abundant life. You know, the world says, oh, if you become a Christian, you won't have life. You know, real life is in the world. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. And have it more abundantly. And the Lord takes hold of us and he saves us and he works in us and he grants us the life that he means for us to live. And this is what Proverbs is all about. And the word of God is vital as we seek to battle envy and jealousy in our lives. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, when you wake up in the morning and maybe you're battling these things and you notice a feeling of envy inside you, maybe towards somebody at work or family situation or somebody else, and you know that it shouldn't be there. You say, well, what can I do about it? What do I do then? Well, here's what you do. You get out the Word of God, you seek the Lord, and you start reading. And you look for those promises of God's Word that explode envy. And to do that, you have to realize that envy really is a form of unbelief. The opposite of envy is faith or trust or to delight in God, to believe that he has what is best for you, to roll your burdens onto the Lord. When we're beginning to envy, we're starting to look at somebody and resent that they've got something that we don't, and we forget that God has dealt with this so wonderfully and graciously, and he's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we begin to lose our peace and our contentment in God because we don't take him at his word and we don't believe him. And so we need to remind ourselves of the great promises of God. And we can look to things like Psalm 37, for example. And David is struggling with this very issue. And listen to what he says. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So if envy starts to rise up in your hearts, you get a text like that where it says, don't be envious, and then you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. You know those things are there, Lord. Please help me. I need some powerful arguments for why I should be resting in you. Help me to see them in your word. Help me to realize that you are good, that you have got the best for me. Lord, show me. And you pray and seek the Lord. And as you get to one of those precious promises, you pray, Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see the wonder and the reality of this promise. And grant me by your Spirit the capacity to savor it and know it and rest in it and believe it and walk in it and live by it and act on it today. Please, God, help me. It's a real battle. You know, we're not going to be able to face these things in a kind of haphazard way. We have to realize the damage it can do to our souls, the damage it can do to those around us, the damage it can do to the cause of Christ, where envy and jealousy prevail. And we keep going to the Lord, and we ask God to meet with us and deal with that in our lives. You know, it's clear from Proverbs that the wages of jealousy is death, just like all sin. It rots your bones, it destroys your relationships, and at the end it will condemn forever. Jealousy is a matter of life and death. Envy will cause you to shrivel up. It eats away at you. It will cast you into darkness. The Apostle Paul says about jealousy that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, friends, what do we do? Well, to draw it all together, the simple answer is this. Faith in the Lord Jesus will save you from envy. You know, if you get to learn any of the Proverbs, this is a great one to learn. Proverbs 23, verses 17 to 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Here in those verses is the wise way to live. To deal with jealousy, it is the theme of the entire book of Proverbs. Fear the Lord. Keep him in view. Fight off envy and jealousy in your life, to trust the Lord, to have wholehearted confidence in him. The antidote to jealousy is to be content in the Lord. And what is the motivation for this contentment? That one day we will be with him. So living with that eternal perspective. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And in the light of eternity, as you fear the Lord and experience those blessings of God and that contentment in him, those other things which were pulling at you, and causing you to be jealous, they fade, because your satisfaction's in the Lord. And in contrast, the wicked will lose everything they have. And I would say to you this, in one sense, you could say that the gospel itself is an account of envy and jealousy. You say, well, how's that? Well, envy and jealousy drove men to lay hands on Jesus to kill him. His influence and ministry, blessed of the Lord, it drew out the dark, vile, jealous hatred of those who opposed him. The scriptures tell us that the Jewish leaders handed Jesus over to the Romans. Why? Because of envy. Matthew 27, 18. They handed him over because of envy. And we need to see, though, friends, that it's not just the jealousy and envy of those Jewish leaders that led to the death of Jesus. It is our own jealousies that saw him go to Calvary. He died on the cross to atone for the sin of his people. He hung on that cross to pay the penalty, to endure the wrath of a holy God for every occasion of our jealousy. And every time you've resented someone else's success, every time you've envied their relationship, every time you've been jealous over their popularity or all the rest, it was sin that Jesus had to die for. But remarkably, it is, and I say it reverently, that God's jealousy to have that exclusive relationship with his people is that which saw him send his son to die for sinners like you and me. As one says, even though his bride had satisfied herself with so many idolatrous lovers, God was zealous to purchase her and satisfy her with himself alone. He loves you and he wants you to be his. And we need to remind ourselves of that when jealousy begins to rise up, that Jesus went to the cross, that he shed his own blood so that I can be saved from this. And I need to find my delight and my contentment in him. And I don't need to be jealous, because in my Savior, I have all that I need. Now, as we close, we read John 21, and I want you to see why this is relevant to what we've been considering this evening. So please turn to that passage, if you will, this last illustration. John 21 and this latter part where Jesus restores Peter. And then we have this interesting conversation of the beloved disciple and Peter inquiring of him. And just to recap on the account, maybe you've never thought it about this in terms of envy before, but one preacher used it like this and it really struck me, so it's not an original thought if I can put it like that, but I want to share it with you. So Peter has been restored by Jesus following his denial, and as we read, he affirmed three times that he loves the Lord. And then in verse 18, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. So Jesus is talking to Peter. There's been this restoration. And then he tells him about his death and the manner of his death and the fact that he was going to be a martyr and he was going to glorify God in his death. And straight away after that, Jesus says to Peter, follow me. Now then, Peter turned, verse 20, and he saw following the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. John, who had been close to the breast of the Savior at the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? Now, when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Now, have you ever thought, why did he ask that? Why did he ask that? What was in his thinking? Well, Peter has just been told that he's going to be a martyr. And so he asks about John. He says, well, Lord, what's going to happen to him? Will he be a martyr too, Lord? Is that the outcome? And maybe you can see just beneath the surface envy rising in Peter's heart. You know, if that's not his end, that's not fair. Why have I got to face that? And how does Jesus deal with it? If it is my will that he remain until I come, what's that to you? Follow me. You say, well, why does the Lord respond like that? Well, he's saying, look, it's unnecessary and dangerous for you to compare circumstances, Peter. It's dangerous to compare what I have for you and what I have for John, to compare those gifts. Why? Because it could give opportunity for competition and envy and jealousy. And so to love and to battle envy, to battle jealousy, Peter, stop comparing. Jesus is saying, look, don't get all involved in comparing yourself with this other disciple. What I have for him, I have for him. Here's what I have for you. That's me. You got me, Peter, and that should be enough for you. And so follow me. Stop comparing, stop competing, stop giving cause and a foothold for envy or jealousy, and get on with following me. And as Jesus is their focus, so the temptations will fade. You know, whenever these disruptions come in our lives, whenever they appear in the life of the church and tensions start to show over the most ridiculous things, it is because Jesus is not in view. And we've forgotten the fact that he should be preeminent. And that any ministry that we're involved in, any circumstance that we're in serving the Lord, is all of his grace. And we deserve nothing from him. You see, Jesus is the solution to envy. Follow me. If you're behind me, if you've got me, why do you need to worry about him? So work together to exalt me. That's the answer. We need more of the Savior. And we need to realize what an incredible privilege it is just to know the Lord Jesus and to be able to love him and worship him and serve him. And so we should be able to work together for his name, to prefer one another, to esteem one another in him, not seeking to push ourselves or to drive up envy and jealousy because of unwise behavior. Jesus said in another place, don't rejoice over this, that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It is such a staggering privilege to be a disciple, to be a believer, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that what becomes of other disciples is neither here nor there. We don't need to be jealous if we know Jesus for ourselves, because he should be everything to us. And as he is everything to us, everything else is set in its rightful place. Do you know, friends, if we're honest with ourselves, maybe we've often been envious or jealous. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who was never jealous in that sinful way, offered himself to die that we could be forgiven and saved. And he is the one who can not only forgive you for your jealousy, but he can also empower you by his Spirit to live a life that is free from envy and jealousy. You know, throughout Proverbs, we've seen that foolishness is due to a lack of belief and a vital living relationship with Jesus Christ. Foolishness in our lives often shows us that we are not believing in Jesus, that he is not preeminent and first in our affections. And that is so true when it comes to this whole foolishness of jealousy. You're jealous because you're not satisfied and happy in all that he is for you. It is only faith in Christ that will free you from that. Your future hope in Christ is so much greater than whatever that alluring thing is that someone else has right now. And so how do we battle jealousy and envy? How do we not give it that destructive hold in our lives? By running to Jesus Christ, keeping him in view, casting everything upon him, trusting that he always has the best, and making sure that he has the preeminent in our lives and in the life of this church and in our service together. Jealousy destroys. Faith in Jesus saves. Amen. Let's sing together 617 as we close. Object of my first desire, Jesus crucified for me, all to happiness aspire, only to be found in thee. 617.